You're listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a weekly pop cultural nostalgia podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Alvarez. And who might you be?
Alex Mitchell.
That sounds nothing like Alex.
It does not at
so,
all.
So Alex is not here today. He's sick or something.
He's chokeslammed.
He got chokeslammed too hard and now he's sick. But we're joined by...
Adult male or Travis.
Of?
Plane Zero. Yeah.
The Plane Zero podcast, which I'm also a co-host of.
What?
It's a movie podcast where we find out what holds up in the futures. And the past.
It's just seeing if movies hold up. Do older movies hold up?
So yeah, so if you listen to this and you like movies, go listen to that podcast.
Fam.
So let's jump into it.
Back together again, eh? Let's play.
I'm going in. Cover me, Porkins.
I'm right with you, Red 3.
But I don't want to be a pirate.
Looks like Daddy's bringing home the barbecue.
These donuts are great.
I'd buy that for $1.
Oh! Dodson. Dodson. We've got Dodson here.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
All we had to do was follow the damn train, CJ.
It was me all along, Austin.
No! No!
Homecoming. This is a different episode from what we normally do. Every now and then we'll review like a movie that a superhero movie that just came out or something like that. Last one we did I think was Batman v Superman, which was a two-parter.
That is true.
And
Plane Zero does this occasionally too. I think the last one we did was the first Guardians.
That was like 10 years ago.
That was one of our third episodes, basically. It was a bonus episode.
Yeah, we did this every now and then. We didn't do it for Wonder Woman, of course, but we did a Wonder Woman episode and we kind of
You did talk about the movie in that episode, so it's all good, man.
So, Spider-Man Homecoming came out this past weekend, and...
Thwip, baby.
So, that's a quote from the movie, that's exactly what he says.
Yeah.
That's how he activates his web shooters,
actually. Yeah, they're voice activated now because of the talking machine, the AI that's done by Jennifer Connelly.
So, just to preface this, you're a Spider-Man super fan.
I love me some Spider-Man.
Like, you're even wearing a Spider-Man shirt.
I wore it just because I knew we were recording this episode. I've pretty much, aside from yesterday, I've been wearing Spider-Man shirts all weekend. Since Thursday.
How many Spider-Man shirts did you say you have?
Well, just shirts that are basically the symbol or, this isn't even including shirts
together,
that have him on
all
it.
Together with Spider-Man.
I can say that I have, I definitely have four, then I have a few that he's just on somewhere.
Is it above 10?
No, it may not be. I've been scaling back a little, but there's a few more that I kind of want, and I do have also the sweater that is part of his homemade, like the zip up hoodie that's part of his homemade costume from this movie.
You got the Midtown shirt also from Loot Crate, which is also on our YouTube channel. You could check.
I did.
So yeah, you have a lot of Spider-Man shirts.
I like Spider-Man.
I have a lot of Superman shirts, so it's like. So you're also a fan of the comics.
I enjoy comics in general, but especially I think it was Spider-Man that got me back into reading comics fully, starting with basically right around the time that the first Tobey Maguire movie came out. I decided I wanted to go back and start reading comics again, like really reading.
So,
and it was Ultimate that pulled me in.
Also, it was Alex. Also, apparently that was the last series he was actually reading, and that seems to be for a lot of people's Ultimate like. Was sort of everyone's jumping on point to comics, at least for a lot of people in the past, like, 20 years.
Because especially at that exact time for me, like, as far as when those movies came out, the Ultimate line had really just started, so that was, it was exactly what the Ultimate line was supposed to be at the time, which was an easily accessible line that you could jump into that didn't have years of backstory. Of course, eventually, it became exactly that. It became bogged down with backstory and history.
Even worse than, like, mainstream continuity, it became, like, very jumbled.
It did. And there was always constantly stuff that happened. But at that time, it was a perfect place to jump on. So I started with Ultimate Spider-Man, also kind of worked my way into reading other Ultimate titles. But then that also led to me getting there was a hardcover copy that was basically the first arc of Straczynski's run on Amazing.
Oh, okay.
Which I would eventually go back and get the issues for. including the world, the embarrassing world trade.
By then, he was in there for how long had Trzitzky been running?
Still not that long. I think maybe, it hadn't even been more. It might have been about a year.
Wait, really?
It might have been about a year. This was like 2001.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
This was like 2001. And so, yeah, I mean, eventually I would go back and get all of Straczynski's run, which means I also have that, the black issue.
Oh, wow.
Which is worse stuff, but it's embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cringeworthy issue where Dr. Doom cries even though he's a terrorist.
So the set that up what happened is September 11th happened, and like Marvel did this thing where a lot of their comics like paid tribute to what was happening. And, like,
which would have been fine if it was mostly with the heroes, but the problem was they wanted to show how much unity there was by having villains help too.
So yeah, there's a scene.
And so the villains are helping with things that are, that's not, that's some of the stuff that, like, for some of these villains, The two towers coming down is not even nearly as bad as half of the shit that they've done in the comics. But yet we've got an image of Dr. Doom crying because what kind of monster would do this?
Let me read the...
God. It's embarrassing. That's all I'm going to say, fam. But yeah, it was kind of a cool issue at the time until you went back and looked at it. And really was like...
I mean, even at the time, people were kind of like... I remember people were just like, wait, what the fuck is this? Why is Dr. Doom... lamenting like the loss of lives.
Babylon 5, that's why, bro.
Straczynski. And then later he would go on to write Superman. So, all right, so, oh god, this is terrible. They're at Ground Zero.
Mm-hmm. They're cleaning up.
The towers are destroyed. Yeah, everyone's cleaning up, doing their part. Firemen are everywhere. And so then you have. The Kingpin, Magneto, and Dr. Doom standing around. It says, because the story of humanity is written not in towers, but in tears, in the common coin of blood and bone, in the voice that speaks within even the worst of us and says, this is not right. Because even the worst of us, however, and this is a close-up of Dr. Doom's mask, and you can see his eyes
watering. There's a legit, he's doing the single tear.
Because even the worst of us, however scarred, are still human, still feel, still mourn the random death of innocence. This is Dr. Doom, and what's being said is he's mourning the random death of innocence.
Which he's caused numerous times on his own.
Dr. Doom kills people. He kills tons of innocent people. He was
a mad dictator.
Now, if it was Latverian citizens, he might cry.
That's also true.
He might feel emotional. Anyone else, he doesn't give a fuck about. So, it's kind of a hilarious scene, and like, if they had just cut this part out, it probably would have been a lot better.
I mean, I get the point he's trying to make, but it's failed.
I mean, if you just had Kingpin, I'd understand.
Even Kingpin, yeah, because I mean, yeah, he's murdered people, but it's not like thoughtless murder. His is all business.
And he's also a New Yorker. Like,
yeah, it's New York strong, is what you're saying.
But
speaking of New York strong, Spider-Man.
Yes, so that's a whole thing. So, yeah, you're well-versed on Spider-Man, which brings us to this point. And it's taken a while to bring us to this point of this movie happening, because there's been...
So much had to happen.
So...
We had to go through 5 movies, 2 different Spider-Men, before we could get to this point.
So, we all know the history of, you know, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, using those 3 movies. If you want to hear more about those movies, head over to Plane Zero and listen to our Spider-Man 2 episode where we talk a little bit about that.
Yes, or go even further back and listen to the Spider-Man 1 episode. See,
so we've covered 2 of those. And those movies were, the first 2 were a hit. Like
They were legit hits. Yeah. Technically, if you want to be really technical, even Part 3 was a box office hit.
Yeah, critically though.
It panned and it had a quicker drop-off than the others, but...
And so Spider-Man was part of that first wave of, like, not Marvel movies, but movies, the super movies that, like, sort of, like, brought the life back into this.
It was basically the part of the result of Blade.
Blade, X-Men, and Spider-Man, yeah, those were, like, the first, like...
Blade was the first one to really hit it, and that led to
X-Men
and Spider-Man.
Yeah, and the hype for Spider-Man was built, like, crazy.
Crazy. I mean, they also then had to get rid of some of their advertising stuff because for the exact same thing we just spoke of, which is the two towers. Yeah. There was a poster where Spider-Man had a web, where there was a helicopter caught in a web that was constructed between the two towers, the Twin Towers. And they decided we need to get rid of those posters.
Yeah, so those movies went on for a while, and then, of course, The third one didn't.
The third one basically was such a critical failure, and kind of eventually, even though like I said, it was technically a hit at first.
Yeah.
Had such a wide drop off that they kind of knew there was this weird period where it was like, we might make a Spider-Man 4, or we might just restart all over. Because, like, he was, at one point, Anne Hathaway was in talks to be the Black Cat.
Ben Kingsley.
As Tombs.
It was Ben Kingsley and John Malkovich.
Who
were the rumored to play the Vulture, who is, of course, the bad guy in
Homecoming. We finally got to now in Homecoming.
And so then they did the reboot series that Andrew Garfield.
Which the first one is decent. There's some embarrassing moments in it. He's not the greatest Peter Parker, but he's actually a pretty good quippy Spider-Man.
But the problem is the tone of the movie is like, they really double down on the whole like...
It's all over the place too.
And they double down on the whole like, Spider-Man's a dark character. Like, it's a little double down anymore. I mean,
the whole movie for him is, up until like the very final act, is it's a revenge quest. He's obsessively trying to hunt down and Uncle Ben's killer.
It's really weird that a lot of like the pre-Homecoming movies, they decided to go for that route of Spider-Man's a more darker, tragic figure. I mean, yeah, he has a tragic origin and all that, but it feels like those stories of Spider-Man being sad or like being the tragic shit, there are less of them, which makes them more impactful.
Yeah.
And but usually it's Spider-Man's like, he's fun. And we never really got a sense of that.
He's fun, but he's always in over his head.
Yeah, but we never really got a sense of that in like those older movies. It was always kind of like, no, let's go one way. And then, but then when they try to go fun, it was like Raimi's campiness, to a weird degree. So then after Amazing Spider-Man 2, which
also once again all over the place, huge failure, bigger failure than Spider-Man 3 was,
people thought like, okay, I guess it's over for Spider-Man. Meanwhile, in the background, the MCU's building, and there's all these talks going on, and the big Sony leak happened. It's weird. We kind of have Harry Osborn to thank for this.
Harry Osborn is the greatest ally. He's constantly saving his friend Pete.
So, what was the movie? That movie's name?
The Interview.
So, because it's amazing, the Sony leak happened because of this movie called The Interview. North Koreans got pissed off. They're like, "You're making fun of us." And they decided to hack Sony because of this movie, and they released the movie early, is what the North Koreans did, and they also revealed like tons of secrets from Sony.
All these crazy emails that had been going back and forth amongst Sony and all the funniest thing is, go find if you can, try to find some of the emails that took place between what's her name,
Amy Pascal.
I think it might have been Amy Pascal. Find the emails between her and Channing Tatum, because they're hilarious, because he is very enthusiastic about everything he gets approached for. It's pretty awesome.
Well, and she's crazy. Like, when you read her emails, like...
Oh, yeah.
There's this sense of, like, well, how is this woman in charge of things? Because, like, she just says, like, the weirdest shit ever. And, like, it makes every rad seem like a normal guy in comparison.
Is the family...
So that happened, and
Sony wound up finding themselves in a very vulnerable position.
Yeah, and also it's like a lot of their like stuff about their finances revealed, and it was like, oh, they're doing horribly. Disney Marvel sort of used that as leverage, their advantage,
not to make it seem like they were fully trying to like take advantage, in a mean way. Because they
clearly worked a deal out where it also benefited Sony. So
yeah, so this is the since Phase One, this is the first movie in the MCU that's not distributed by Disney.
Wait, so it's not distributed.
It's Sony. Well. Sony distributed it, this movie. Wow. Correct. Yeah, that's.
I know that when it comes to like the funds from this movie, everything, basically Disney Marvel has all the merchandising rights, so they get everything from merchandising, and Sony gets everything from box office take. So I mean, that I guess that works out like
Yeah, I mean that's not to say Disney's not involved, obviously, because Disney owns Marvel and Marvel Studios is involved. So, but yeah, Sony's the distributor for this film.
I mean, and Sony needed this.
As of recording this, the movie's pretty much should have taken in about $117 million opening weekend.
It did really well.
Which is about $3 million short of what they were projecting after Friday's huge box office, but that's still not...
Yeah.
It's still the third best biggest box office of the weekend, falling in between Guardians and Wonder Woman.
So, I mean, yeah, it...
Which leads me to believe that number one, I'm pretty sure, is Fate of the Furious.
Is it?
Probably.
Huh.
If Guardians was the second biggest, yeah. I can't think of any other movie this year that's bigger than that.
They're going to space next, apparently.
I know, I saw that's I'm on board.
I don't know what the hell's happening.
It's ridiculous. There's nothing that can be taken serious about it, which is why it's fun.
I've ever seen the first one, so this confuses the shit out of me.
Oh, once you get to the fourth one, which is the return of both Paul Walker and Vin Diesel, it starts going more and more ludicrous.
And ludicrous is in this
movie. And he's in them, too. Chris Bridges.
So for Sony, this was a huge thing. And also, starting for when Homecoming, before it was even announced, there were rumors that, like, Marvel and Kevin Feige are trying to work out a deal that has Spider-Man. And you know what? No one really believed it.
And there was actually a lot of on both sides saying, nah, that's not happening.
Yeah, and people are like, that's full of shit, that'll never happen, you know? No way. Like, Andrew Garfield's gonna do a third one, everything's gonna be fine. And I feel like this is one of the few times that a reveal or like a surprise has actually like worked out, because usually there's a set leak that happens, people post pictures, and I remember it's like waking up that one morning and it's like new Captain America Civil War trailer, it's like, oh, okay, and playing it, and then the end is like, and Spider-Man in the trailer.
But see, by this point, it had already been announced that he was a part of the MCU before that trailer came out.
Wait, had it?
Yeah, because I remember, okay, I don't remember the exact date. I know that I was driving home from being at the gym, and one of us had, like, either I had seen it online, or you had posted it in our little group chats, and I just, like, I stopped in the middle of traffic.
They did, but see, it was still that, like... Like that, something you just, like, yeah...
They had announced that he'd be in... Because by the time that trailer hit, everyone already knew he'd hurt himself even filming it.
That's true, yeah. But there's still that, like, don't believe it till you see it.
And it's like, he's only going to be in this much of the movie. It's going to be a quick cameo, and then he'll just have his own movie, and it won't be as tied into the rest of the MCU, but it'll be a part of it.
Seeing it, though, was like a shock. I was like, what?
That first moment of Tony Stark yelling under Ruse, him landing on top of the car, taking also, Cap's shield and saying, hey, everyone, are the eyes moving?
They didn't announce that was going to be in the, like, that... It was just a new trailer tomorrow. That's it.
It was a new trailer. There was a lot of speculation that he would show up in the trailer because it's like, because we'd already had the other trailer before this.
But
and
it
it's like, oh,
like,
my gosh, is this going to be the one?
And I remember when that trailer came out, it was one of those break the internet moments because, like, everyone was talking about it.
It was, like, that same day or week that they also announced casting Zendaya for Homecoming.
Yeah.
That a bunch of the Homecoming news started coming out, too.
And so... It was weird seeing, because I was like, it felt like the Marvel Universe, like the cinematic universe, grew like out of like exponentially bigger. Because before that, it's like you know Spider-Man, Sony, whatever. But like, it's like I feel
this is Marvel's flagship character aside from maybe mutants.
Spider-Man is the face of Marvel.
Him and Cap are basically Cap's just been around forever and was before Marvel,
Cap's like. The Superman of Marvel, where Spider-Man's more like the Batman of Marvel, where it's like, while Superman is like the hero, the face of DC Comics is really Batman for a lot of people. And it's the same thing with Marvel Comics. It's like Spider-Man is the face of Marvel.
Yeah.
And even the title is appropriate, Homecoming. It's like Spider-Man's back where he belongs. Alternatively, yeah, you could say, like, the X-Men, like Wolverine or something.
Yeah,
also works,
Wolverine.
But I don't know what's happening now.
No, they're still on their own
with
Fox. It's fine.
But relations are cooling between Marvel Studios. In terms of the mutant stuff, I kind of want to see something happen.
But they would have to restart that whole entire timeline.
Yeah.
I don't want any of that baggage coming with them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's...
As much as I love Hugh Jackman, but he's a part of that baggage now.
Which is the only way you could really do, I guess, is like a crossover thing, like a multi-dimensional thing. Like, that's the only way that could really be done properly. But, so Homecoming was Civil War came out, and those scenes went over really well with people. Like,
it was, like, I remember being in the theater for Civil War, like, the preview night.
Yeah.
The Thursday night. And... It's the moment where Tony and Black Widow, they're talking about their ideas that they've got for who else they could get. And it's like, Tony's like, who are you thinking? And then her response to him is, well, who are you thinking? And it just cuts. It cuts to New York. You see Queens show up on the screen, giant, because that's how they did all the titles. And it's like the theater, before you even saw him walking, just as soon as you saw Queens, everyone went nuts.
Yeah, and it was just, it felt so strange. Like, it was like,
all of a sudden, Tony Stark's talking to Peter Parker, and we're almost 10 years into this this universe, finally happening.
There was this sense that it was never going to happen.
It's probably the same way people will react if the mutants ever show up or the Fantastic Four ever show up, because right now it feels like it's never going to happen.
I really hope that that Marvel is dicking around right now, and it's all just like, it's all like, it, Ike is finally not giving a fuck anymore, and that Phase 4 will be the introduction of Fantastic Four, because it would be so fucking perfect.
It would be fun.
And also, it's Phase 4. It'd just be like...
Four Fantastic Four. Fantastic and Phase 4.
It would be glorious, but I don't know if that'll happen. But I'd have similar feelings.
Yeah, because it really is. It's one of those things where... And for you, that's also a big... You love the
Four. You want these characters, that's fine. You want these characters all together, in the same universe. And the fact that there's this wedge dividing them, it's like... That kind of sucks.
It's mostly because it's from a time where Marvel... was still recovering from the 90s.
Yeah, and they were selling properties and stuff like that. So his scenes went over really well, and it was interesting because it was this is the first time I saw Spider-Man in a different way that he'd been portrayed, because it's not only is he moving incredibly fast, but he's talking while he's moving.
He's doing exactly what Spider-Man, how he is in the comics, which is everyone just thought of him as the quipper, he quips all the time while he's doing it, but of course, eventually it was revealed that it's because he's also incredibly nervous.
And the problem with the other movies is that how they handle the quipping stuff is, Tobey Maguire, it seemed every now and then he would do it.
You're out of your mind, Gobby.
That's horrible. But it was usually especially in Andrew Garfield too, it's the quipping would happen before the fighting, or between fighting. It was never actually during the fighting. This was straight up he's just... talking shit while he's fighting.
The part with him and the Winter Soldier and Falcon, where it's just kind of the three of them in the building, and they're doing all this stuff, and it's just all the back and forth talking. It's just oh my god, this is what it should be.
And it's it's not just the problem with the combat and all the other movies. It was either he's spinning on webs and shit and swinging. But this was alternating between that crawling and he was doing this weird acrobatic shit that you kind of didn't see in those other movies. Because before, the wall crawling wasn't really didn't seem like part of his combat. It seemed like just a way of travel.
Yeah.
But this was this just used everything. And it really, really showed how strong he was, which was also something I was Jesus,
Well, he took a punch from Cap. He took Cap's shield.
Yeah.
He managed to... somewhat best both Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Of course, in Homecoming, we get that moment where, spoiler alert, where Tony Stark tells him, if Cap wanted to lay you out, he could have laid you out. But still, there's still this... it's still pretty impressive. So, and even Cap... that's one of the things I loved about Homecoming, was even though they were on opposite sides, because he was on Team Stark, there was that moment where the two of them were... and it's just there was game acknowledging game, especially with Brooklyn, Queens, where they say what borough they're from.
Yeah. So right out of the gate, the introduction to this, it could have gone bad, but it didn't. It went really well, and right out the gate, everyone was excited, and so then the hype for Homecoming started being built, and little by little they released cast information, and at first I was worried as shit because I'm like, man, this cast is fucking huge,
But a lot of them are just really
quick
supporting characters that are obviously... I mean, it's also kind of world-building for the Spider-Man world, because they said a lot of these movies, probably all of his movies with the MCU will continue, as far as the 5-movie plan that Feige has, will continue to take place in high school.
Yeah, which I'm fine with.
I am also. And I didn't notice it until another time that I watched it, but okay. So, because I made the joke with someone after I saw it the first time, where it was just that's funny. I hope there's some sort of explanation for why the principal is part of the Howling Commandos. And then I noticed it the next time around that he's got the picture in his office.
Yeah, I noticed that right away. I'm like, oh man. Like, So, yeah, the cast listing, though, was just like, I remember, like, it felt like every week they'd release, like...
Zendaya was the first big announcement, and there's been a whirlwind of speculation regarding that character since they announced her over a year ago.
Another, like, a character be so, like, criticized and argued about, and, like, the studio denying shit, and, like, rumors flying around. But this one fucking, like, character who's barely in the damn movie.
She's impactful in the movie because she's actually got a lot of the funnier part moments of the movie. But at the same time, it's just like, wow, for the extent of the role that she wound up being in the movie, it's like, there was a lot going on with this.
Fake rumors leaked out, like, a month ago.
I mean, this was continuing since what, I want to say March of 2016.
Yeah.
All the way through to July of 2017. There has been speculation about who she's playing.
Yeah, and it all hangs on the fact that, is she married Jane Watson? Is that her whole thing? And they do this thing where it's like, no, she isn't, but she has the...
But there's an homage.
Yeah, too. And by the way, this episode's spoilers, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
We haven't really said it yet, so right now, spoilers. Yeah, I guess if you go watch it, you really should. She says that her nickname is
her MJ. Friends call her MJ, which of course later on they make the comment. Yeah. They also then make the comment, but I thought you didn't have any friends because she says she doesn't have friends.
So she's not Mary Jane Watson,
but she's MJ Daya. Yeah.
I mean, multiple MJ people can exist. We can got Michael Jackson, and Michael Jordan. That's the thing.
One was the king of pop, and then one liked to sing Smooth Criminal.
Okay, sure. This is a lot different from the other Spider-Man movies.
It's very different. Yeah. This is I mean, it's a comedy.
Okay, that's the thing. This is more of a straight-up comedy movie, which is perfect.
With a good amount. But it's an action comedy,
basically. Which, it's weird that the other movies weren't. They were more of action dramedies.
And there was definitely drama in this movie.
But it wasn't, like, overbearing. It didn't feel like... There was no point where you just felt like, oh, God. Like, why is he even Spider-Man? He doesn't feel like he wants to be. This is
a guy who desperately wants to be Spider-Man.
And that's what I love about this, is just how much he wants to be a superhero.
Like, we see it in the very beginning of the movie, where you start learning that basically he's toning down. He's getting all of his extracurricular activities. Yeah. He's pretty much left. Like, he's quit them all just so he could get out of school sooner and start being the Spider-Man, like, and swing around listening to the Ramones.
Like, it's really rare. Yeah, and the soundtrack of this movie is just wonderful. But it's really rare in super movies, and that's why, like, recently that's been popping up is, like, super is just doing it because they want to help people. Like, Wonder Woman had that whole aspect to it that we talked about on the Wonder Woman episode. This definitely has that, though, because it's like, he's not doing it for fame. He's not doing it for, like...
Well, he wants to be an Avenger. I mean, that's kind of fame.
Yeah, but I think it's just because one of the big leagues.
He wants to be like them.
A superhero, yeah. Like, his whole thing is he wants to impress Tony Stark enough to be, like, considered, like, a true superhero.
To the point where he's just constantly spamming Happy Hogan with texts.
Yes. So it's different from the others for that reason. Also, it gets away from the origin thing. It's like, everyone knows it.
And the fact that we've already established him in Civil War helps with that a lot. And the way they tie this movie in, the way they actually tie both the Vulture and Spider-Man into feeling like they were a 100% existing part of this world that's been around was brilliant. Having Vulture being, like, having basically Adrian Toomes being... That he's gotten all this technology from the attack of New York.
Yeah.
That they were actually part of a demolition crew that were brought in to help clean up everything, but then were replaced by Damage Inc. was great. Yeah. Flash forwarding 8 years to show that they've then been doing this since that.
So yeah, and so the movie also sets up, like, the whole damage control thing that Tony Stark builds, which, for those who don't know, damage control is it's a series of the Marvel Universe, and it's like, it's essentially. The question is always with superhero stuff is, like, well, what if it happens when, like, everything gets destroyed? Like, who takes care of that? And that's damage control.
And as one of the characters in Spider-Man said, so wait, the assholes who made this mess are going to be the ones who get paid to clean it up?
Yeah, and so it sets up an interesting dynamic for the villain, because what he's doing really isn't, like, bad completely.
Well, it is. No, I mean, it is. But he's coming from a place of, of being screwed over.
Like, what he's doing is bad in terms of, like, giving weapons to people.
But why he's doing it, he's doing it for a living, and he was doing it to stop himself from going bankrupt.
And he wanted to provide for his family and for all these dudes who, like, it's like, they got no work. Like, you can't, this is unfair to them.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to have your villain, like, set up with that sort of thing, because towards the end of the movie, when him and Peter finally confront each other, like, not the car scene, which is kind of creepy, like, when Peter's in his, like,
When he goes back to the warehouse?
Yeah, and he's in his homemade outfit, the Vulture...
He's like, I want you to understand.
Michael Keaton gives him this, like, sort of talk that, like, essentially, like...
It's a villain monologuing scene, but it's one of the few times where the monologuing actually is to the villain's advantage.
And he's also not lying about anything he's saying.
That's also true.
Because it's interesting, like, to have your villain, like, just actually speak the truth, and, like, what he's saying is right. I mean, it's that the little guy always gets fucked over by, like, these corporate interests and shit, and it's like... It's weird that, like, because Marvel villains, everyone tends to say, like, they're not as, like, deep, and they're, like, kind of... whatever.
They're usually just means to... They're usually Marvel villains in the movies, a lot of times, just exist solely as a conflict for the hero.
Yeah.
As opposed to being something that's on... That exists on... That actually feels like a lived-in character.
Yeah.
Of course, one of the exceptions would be Loki. Another exception kind of is Ego.
Yeah.
And
so with this, though, it's... They got a Spider-Man villain, right? Because Spider-Man villains tend to be, like... The, like, dudes who kind of have been, like, shoved to the side of society and shit. And they're street thugs. And, like, I like that this movie took that approach instead of, like, there's no world-ending crazy shit going on.
There wasn't a sky beam, bro.
There was no sky beam. But there's no world-shattering shit happening. It's dudes who steal. It's, like...
It's dudes who steal and then sell. And then make weapons and sells. They're basically... They're fences.
They're not even, like international arms dealers or anything. They're common criminals who have access to just technology. And, like, I mean, his first major fight in this movie is in a bank. It's a bank robbery. Like, when the hell else does that happen? I mean, except Dr. Octopus, that scene.
Dr. Puss. Listen to the Spider-Man 2 episode, Plane Zero for that.
And so it was refreshing to see that, where it's like, the Vulture didn't have this plan to, like, take over New York, or, like, this plan to kill everyone.
He didn't want to take over anything. He didn't want to be famous. He wanted to stay under radar because he's smart.
See, yeah, and the thing is, like, he even gets pissed that it's like, you kind of blew our cover, like, with doing these arms deals. And so it just felt so damn refreshing to have, like, it's basically one last score he wanted to do to take care of his family. Something that was also kind of cool that is different from the other movies is this movie's not gigantic.
It really isn't.
It's a personal story. It's not about the world ending. It's not about some giant thing that's going to take over the city.
No, he just wants tech from Tony Stark.
No, when you think about what it's about, is it's old school. It's about dudes robbing things. It's sort of a bank robbery.
It gets kind of big at the end, but
even then, not even that big.
Like, because I saw Doctor Strange recently. That is, like, apocalyptic.
See, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of these movies are, like, global and, like, all this crazy shit. This one was just, like, if not for Spider-Man, this would have just been a blip on the radar. It's like, okay, they stole some technology.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It would have been like, well, that sucks, but...
Yeah. But because it's Peter Parker, and because it's this kid, it's big to him.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see that. It was nice to see it was a very small, simple film, and it's Spider-Man. Spider-Man should only be dealing with world-ending shit occasionally, when it's like, because the other movies, it was just like, Spider-Man 2, you had, this thing could destroy all of New York, and...
Yeah.
Like, and,
Spider-Man 3 was kind of small scale, too, though.
I mean, was it?
It was just Venom trying to do something.
I don't know.
And then Sandman but trying to get
Venom. All these movies, like, deal with, like, the destruction of New York City and shit like that.
Yeah.
And another thing is, we never actually go, like, deep into, like, Manhattan or anything. Spider-Man's never swinging through tons of buildings and shit, going crisscrossing. He's kind of in...
Does he do it at the end, or am I thinking of Spider-Man 2?
You're thinking of Spider-Man 2.
Okay, cool.
Great. He's in Queens. He's doing low-level swinging. The highest he gets is when he gets on the Washington Monument, and he's scared of heights, which is kind of interesting. And it's like, oh, you give her character motivation for to overcome his fears.
That's kind of a big scene, but well, at the end of the day, only five people would have died. But yeah. It was important to him.
Yeah, so I'm it like, was a right. personal movie. And also, Spider-Man does things with his webs that he doesn't do in the other movies.
Yeah, a lot of interesting which things. Reminded me a lot of the Spider-Man 2 video game where he's doing like web bombs and shit like that. Like, all right, that's cool.
But also his style of fighting, like this is the first time we've seen a Spider-Man movie where, I mean, we saw a bit of it in Civil War, of course. Spider-Man like fighting and talking at the same time, because how it was before was he would fight, pause, talk, fight, pause, talk. Never the two like would meet. Every now and then he would, but this he won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
and it's great. It's completely great. I don't know. It just this whole movie felt so alive.
Yeah, I it's weird. I was so happy, and you know, it was just like it was the right amount of fun, and that's the thing. Like, I feel like a Batman movie doesn't need to be fun.
That's so, yeah. Movies can have different tones.
Yeah,
and for a Spider-Man movie, especially for like a first one. Yeah, give us something fun, something like,
yeah,
just that's.
If you want to make it darker when it gets to be a more personal story, that's fine.
But there were points that were dark,
yeah.
But they weren't like depressing dark. They were just like, oh shit, how's Spider-Man going to get out of this one?
Yeah,
like when he has to lift the machinery off of him, which is a classic moment in the comics. It was like you were rooting for him, like yeah, and then they I like the found a way to work in that classic imagery of the half face. Where it's like half Spider-Man face, half Peter Parker face.
Yeah.
When he's looking in the puddle, and it was like, yeah, he realizes like I'm Spider-Man, I can do this. So the suit in this movie.
So it talks.
Yeah, it's clear to me, and I hope it that's what's going to happen is the next one, because in this he has like an Iron Man light type suit. It talks. It gives him advice.
It makes sense because you know.
Yeah. I'm hoping in the next one, because he earned the suit back. Because in the movie, he ends up losing the suit because he fucks up really big. And
his intentions were good.
Yeah, but he fucked up.
Yeah.
He fucked up big time.
Which is, it's weird. He made one small mistake and it fucked up the whole thing.
Yeah, and so he wears his street suit or whatever.
Yeah.
And he does everything without the aid of technology, and he just has his normal spider shooters. But at the end of the movie, Tony Stark offers him like this really advanced looking suit,
which kind of reminded me of the Iron Spider a bit.
Yes, and also, if you were to take that suit, the gold areas, if you were to color them white and color the red areas black, I'm just saying, it would look kind of interesting, wouldn't it?
You like that suit, don't you?
No, I'm just saying, what would that look like?
The Fantastic...
No.
Say the colors again.
Okay. That suit, based on how the webbing pattern is on those, because they're long extended webs.
Okay.
Say he takes that suit out into space in the next movie. And say something gets on that suit and does something to it. The web patterning... If it becomes all white and the rest of it becomes black, what would that... I don't know.
Well,
the design just looks a little too familiar to Venom for my liking.
So, what's going on with that?
Who the fuck knows? That's also going to be a movie. But it's not connected to the MCU, so who cares?
I think they're saying it is, but it's not.
That's what that lady, the woman in charge of Sony, is saying, and she's insane.
Why are they doing this? Why can't they just let it happen?
Because they want money.
I get it, but like, fuck.
Hey, it doesn't matter. Just don't pay attention to those movies.
God damn it.
But yeah, so he declines the suit because he's like, oh, you're just testing me, Mr. Stark. In reality, Tony Stark was going to let him join the Avengers and shit. And then at the very end, he's given his suit back.
Oh, and they get engaged, Tony and Pepper.
I mean, it's hinted at. I don't know if they actually
do. I think it's probably implied, at least. I don't really
Gwyneth Paltrow is busy telling people to shove things up themselves and poison themselves. Have you ever heard about that in the news?
What?
Her company that deals with like holistic healing and shit like that It's like shit for rich white ladies. She's telling them to put like porous eggs upside inside them.
And no, don't
steam their places.
No,
that's yeah, gross. She's her company's Gooper.
Doesn't she think water's like bad for you or something?
She thinks a lot of stuff. She's crazy. She's crazy. She's a crazy crackpot. But anyways, yeah, he gets the suit. He gets the suit, the technology suit back that he had throughout the whole movie. But
which, you know what, I'm glad because I didn't really like the look of the one Tony made.
No, so here's what I'm, but here's what I'm thinking. That the next one, it'll be that suit, but he won't rely on the gadgetry as much because he can do that shit on his own because he's Spider-Man.
But I did like Karen, the voice of
That was all right. Yeah. But I do like Spider-Man doing stuff on his own because it shows how much more capable he is. And also, it's like they were showing like when he gets too advanced with the shit, how it hinders him.
Yeah.
Like, because like, he's like, what's with all these weird webbings and all this, like, crazy shit? Like,
yeah. And kill mode and all that. Like, yeah. Yeah, so. Also, speaking of kill mode, I'm so glad they didn't kill off the fucking Vulture.
No, they didn't. And also, Vulture did him a solid, which is interesting.
A what?
Did him a solid, like, at the end.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
He didn't tell them who Spider-Man was.
Because he saved his life and he saved his daughter's life.
Yes.
So it's like whatever.
So that's going to be interesting to see how that.
So what are your hopes for the next Spider-Man?
Well, from what I know, it takes place directly after Infinity War Part 1.
Okay.
So I don't know.
We'd have to see those and see how that sets up Spider-Man.
Yeah, because the next movie's going to appear in is Avengers Infinity War.
So are those two movies supposed to set up everything for the next phase?
No, not really. No, because we're in the final part of Phase 3.
Yeah.
So the next movie we have to look forward to is Thor. Comes in November.
Mm-hmm.
February is Black Panther. And then I believe is Infinity War.
Okay.
Then after Infinity War will be Ant-Man and the Wasp and Captain Marvel.
I just want another Spider-Man movie soon.
I think Spider-Man also comes up between... Yeah, that comes up between Infinity War and Infinity War 2.
Okay.
And then after that, we get Phase 4. What is Phase 4? I don't know, but... So the building got bought out, remember?
Yeah. That's
who bought that building? Who bought the Avengers Tower?
Who?
I don't know, but there's theories, of course. One being it's Oscorp, which is probably going to be honest.
I'd be fine with that.
But my hope of hopes is that we're all being thrown for a loop here, and Phase 4 introduces it as the Baxter Building or something.
Ooh.
Phase 4, Fantastic Four, just come on. Come on, please. Not going to happen because Fox is the devil. And
do you want the X-Men in MCU?
I don't care about them being in part of it because at this point it feels like too much of a mess. Fantastic Four is something you can easily bring into this.
Yeah.
Man, Fox though, it's like, I just want Fantastic Four back. I want all these characters back. I mean, like, Kang belongs with those rights. Silver Surfer, Galactus, Doctor Doom. So many fucking great characters, and it's like we can't use them.
Why do they make Dormammu look weird and not like Dormammu?
I can't hear his name without thinking about the phrase anymore.
God damn
it. It's like fucked me up. Well, I mean, he looked like Dormammu.
Ish. I mean, like, he didn't remind me of, like...
I mean, because they... I mean, the concept art they originally had looked more like him.
Yeah.
But they had to, like... I don't... There's this weird aversion that movies and Hollywood have to, like... having giant beings. They always have to be fucking clouds or like it seems like James Gunn's the only one who's like cool with like having big giant people. Whereas like everyone's like, no, that would look silly. It's like, what's wrong with that? But yeah, you come to bargain or whatever. I wouldn't stop saying it. Wait, so you finally saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
I wasn't really big on it. I thought visually it was really impressive, except for whatever reason on Netflix it was very dim, and I don't know if it was just a dimly shot film or if it just looked like that on Netflix.
I think it might be your TV or something.
No, it wasn't, because all my other shit looks perfect.
Then, I have no idea why that looked dim for you.
Yeah, it was also, the volume was also really low on that
thing. What the fuck was going on?
They need to re-upload that movie. But yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was alright.
I liked it.
But I'm like, you know, I'm... I'm kind of a bit bummed out that those TV characters probably aren't going to make it to...
I mean, yeah, but blame Perlmutter for all that shit and all the...
I don't even care about the S.H.I.E.L.D. characters, because I'm just talking about, like, the Defenders and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like we're going to probably see one of them or two of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the feeling we're going to definitely see Daredevil at one point, like, if only for one fucking scene. That's what I really think is going to happen.
Like, what, are they just not going to be doing anything?
I mean, because really, what the fuck is Daredevil going to do?
I mean, I don't know.
Against them.
The Punisher, though, I don't know, he could try something. He's not going
to
be...
Like, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, considering, like, the threats. I mean, because you have Black Widow, and it's like, what's she going to do?
Yeah.
What's Hawkeye going to do? That's always the problem.
But that's like it's the same thing with Batman too.
We haven't seen Batman go up against anything crazy in movies yet, and we actually haven't, because in Batman v Superman, the entire time during that Doomsday fight, he's just hiding.
Yeah,
like he's just jumping out of the way. Doesn't want to. So. I don't know, he's been fighting parademons, or Aquaman's fighting for him, or something. I don't know. He's
saying, yeah, well...
Sub, dude! I don't know. But I have high hopes for this whole thing. I mean...
I'm just happy that it seems like superhero movies are just... I mean, the Marvel movies have always been good.
Yeah.
But I'm just happy it seems like DC's going in a better direction. We'll see. But...
With this, it's like... There's a sense of hope now that I hope that this character introduced with the Avengers movies, I hope he can help. And that's what I said, but I hope he can inspire all the other characters to, like, not be so fucking gloomy about shit. Like, because I'm tired of gloominess in Superman movies.
I do feel like Infinity War is going to be a really, like, kind of, like, depressing movie.
I hope it's not. I hope it's balls to the walls and fun and, like, exciting. I don't want it to be just...
I feel like it's going to end on a downer.
It probably will.
You can't have Thanos in this movie and not have him kill
But then
someone.
Again, you're... I mean,
do you think that... what's it called? Age of Ultron ended on a downer?
I've seen that movie one time. And, it made me feel like I was on a downer. That's pretty much...
Okay, how about... Civil War. That kind of ended on a down note.
Yeah. And it's really good, but at the same time, I'm sick of down notes. I'm sick of, like, real life is depressing as it is, and is, like, as shitty as it is.
Yes.
We need escapism again. We need fucking just fun and adventure and, like, hope and optimism. And it's like, this character brings that. This, like...
Same with Wonder Woman.
Yes.
So I'm like, alright.
Yeah. So, I mean, Guardians gave me that feeling, too, of, like, yeah, like... It's
Guardians,
sad, emotional, but at the same time, it was like, anything's possible. That's what I want from the movies. Anything's possible. I don't want, like, Tony Stark fucked up again. Everything sucks. Everyone's dying. It's like, shit. Fuck, man.
But it's weird, because that's always been the thing when I was growing up, was that that's Marvel. It's always kind of dark and shitty. And
interesting.
And DC's, like, bright and optimistic.
But that's the thing. It's like,
it's switched or something.
No, Marvel has had darkness in it, but it's like, it wasn't always like that's all. It was like, it was those dark moments that made the fun moments feel even better. And it's like, superhero movies just tend to, like, want to take themselves a little too seriously. That's just a thing.
Do you want to blame Nolan for that?
No. I mean, the X-Men films were like that too.
I feel like that's okay though with X-Men.
I mean, I like fun in X-Men. Claremont had a lot of fun. I don't know. I feel like for the time that those movies were released, that the MCU movies were released, the dreariness or the down endings or the down notes were fine. I think now we're entering an era where we need, like, we need shit to not be depressing anymore. I feel like the era of edgy, sort of, like, nihilistic films is coming to an end. Thank fuck.
You don't want Wake Me Up Inside playing while Daredevil's doing shit.
As much as I like movies like that, I like fun. I like movies making me feel like it's good to be alive. It's good, like, things can be great.
Yeah.
Not just like, morality of man is flawed. It's all over. Like, that's, like, Spider-Man shouldn't make me feel that way.
It's weird. Watchmen made me feel optimistic at the end.
That's weird.
It is weird, isn't
what
it?
What the fuck?
Yeah. Everything will be all right. Then he's gonna try and destroy the DC universe or something.
I don't know. Doomsday clock, whatever. But yeah, Spider-Man was great. The soundtrack was great. I don't know. What are your whole thoughts on this?
It was just a good movie, and I'd love to see it again. It's hard to put into words for me because it was nice to see a Spider-Man movie that didn't make me angry.
It didn't make you hate Peter Parker?
Yeah, because it's like, rewatching Spider-Man on Plane Zero, we realize, like, Peter's kind of a weirdo and not in, like, an endearing way, but kind of, like, it's, like, creepy.
It did away with all the, like, the baggage and shit. There was no weird love triangles and shit like that. There was no, like, stupid...
I don't mind a love triangle if it's fun.
Those Spider-Man movies, everyone just seemed to hate each other.
Yeah.
Ned was a fucking great best friend.
Oh, yeah, he was awesome. He fucked up a couple times, but that happens.
I know, and he's the guy at the computers.
Yes, he is.
It's just, fuck, that was great. He's looking at porn. Yeah, it's, and Aunt May is wonderful. I mean, they pretty much say in the movie what everyone's thinking.
I mean, wasn't that the point, though? Like, yeah. Since...
But also, they did a good job of, like, not, like, trying to hide Marissa Tomei's age.
Yeah.
She dressed all... Like, her makeup was kind of, like, naturalistic and shit like that.
Yeah.
They didn't try to make her look, like, super young and bodacious. It was just, like... Yeah.
So. They weren't doing, like, Ultimate Aunt May shit.
Yeah. So, wait, what?
You remember? Because they tried to make her look, like, not young, but, like... She looked old, but they were trying to, like...
You mean they just gave her a young body? And it was like, and now there's a lot of internet porn because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's internet porn about this now, too, so...
Well, yeah.
There's already, like, a full-blown comic about this, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, someone drew that shit fast. But, don't go on the internet, kids. I mean, maybe you won't... By the time this comes out, maybe you won't be able to go on the internet anymore because of the whole net neutrality thing and we're all fucked. So, that's what we need. That's what we need, movies that don't fuck us.
Yes.
I don't know. I like Spider-Man. This is a good Spider-Man.
It's the best Spider-Man so far.
It's the only Spider-Man for me.
You said Spider-Man is real when you came out of this movie.
That's how it felt. It felt like, that's it. This is it. It's the one. Because,
I mean, we all loved it. People I saw it with.
Yeah. I don't know anyone who's disliked it except, like, assholes on 4chan who were like... Tobey Maguire was the greatest.
Oh, come on.
Uncle Ben hates Jews or something.
What? Whatever. I'm not gonna...
It's a late epic May over there. Yeah. Peter, did I tell you about the... And then there's copy pasta. Oh, okay. That, yeah. That yes.
Oh, Uncle... Betty Brant was in this movie also.
Yeah. There's a lot of
little characters show up.
So we'll see the next one. Because the next one apparently takes place in high school still. So
cool. You know what? Like, when I watched that trailer, I know you didn't like it, but I love that trailer because it does remind me. Yeah,
no, I liked the first trailer. I didn't like the following ones that were just like Iron Man.
Oh no.
The
one with like MGMT and all that.
Oh, that was fun.
Like that reminds you of being in school.
That trailer hyped me up, but then what turned off the hype was like, hey kids, Iron Man's here. Do you like Iron Man?
Speaking of hey kids, the Captain America PSAs are amazing.
And there's apparently more that are going to be on the Blu-ray.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so, yeah, Captain, and he's wearing, I don't give a fuck what anyone says, he's wearing the best Captain America costume. God damn it. It looks like a Captain America costume. I don't care what anyone says. Let's put him back in that costume. Assholes. Let's make it ear holes. That'll be good. But yeah, so... Would you go see this for your to rate? What?
What?
I don't know. Would you rate it or whatever?
On the Sadler scale?
Yes.
I'd rate it. It's out of four, right? Or is it out of
five?
Four and a half. I don't even know what... I feel like giving it a 5 is being too nice, but it's like... No, it but I have no reason no, to not give it.
5 Saddlers. It's a solid fucking Marvel movie, superhero Marvel movie.
It's been my favorite one in a long time.
Really. Yeah, it's just...
Like, Civil War I liked, but that's the thing. I feel like I won't go back and watch it.
I've rewatched it on Netflix.
Is it fine?
Yeah, it's alright. There's some shit that I'm just like... Get so with.
Okay, so but, and that's the thing. Like, I feel like I didn't feel like that at all watching this movie.
Yeah, it's a solid.
I legit felt bad for him when his when Tobey Maguire's relationships didn't work out for him. I'm like, that's either not your fault or it's totally your fault. It's just, and I don't care.
Tobey Maguire, I can't. I look at him.
I hate Mary Jane in that movie so much.
In those movies, I hate everyone in those movies. Everyone in those movies except J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, yeah. He's the best thing.
J. Jonah Jameson was right.
I like Norman Osborn in those movies, too. But
he's horrible in those movies.
He's better than What's-His-Face from the Muppets. I don't remember his name.
Kermit got fired. The real Kermit's been fired.
Wait, what?
You didn't hear about that?
No, what?
Disney fired him.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he was Jim Henson's mentor and everything.
Or you mean he was Jim Henson's protege? Or
His protege. And Henson even said, like...
Why'd they fire him?
They didn't give a reason. They just fired
him. What, are they just going to hire Ray Romano? What the
no,
fuck
they they hired some other guy who has been working on Muppets since the 90s, but... Yeah, the guy who's been playing Kermit since Jim Henson passed away is no longer
I think
Kermit.
Christmas Carol was his first one, I think, or something like that.
I don't know.
Anyways.
But yeah, so that's the world we live in.
Firing Kermit, getting rid of the internet, porn of Aunt May... End this movie.
For more Obscure Gentlemen fun, head over to www.theobscuregentleman.com. And if you'd like to help support this podcast and the webcomic, please visit www.patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. We thank you for listening.